Brother Philip told me to come preach. I told him I'd share time with him. So, Lord willing, I trust maybe be blessed to come forward and with a few remarks that thought that's been on my mind recently, and trust maybe I'll be blessed to shed some light on it. If you go into the Gospel of John, I'm going to just get right down to it and start with in the beginning of chapter 6. It comes on down, and you'll find that that's where Christ fed the 5,000 with just a few fish and a few barley loaves. And then you'll find that Christ departed from them and went on, and then they sought him. If you come down about verse 25 of that chapter, he says that when they had found him on the other side, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles. Now, taking a few loaves and a few fishes and blessing those fish and those loaves to be multiplied to such a point extent that it fed over 5,000. But it says 5,000, but it's over when you count it all. Brethren, that was a miracle. But now these people, they're seeking Christ, but they're not seeking him for this miracle. He said, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. In other words, they were seeking him because they were filled with the natural food. And all of you know we all have to have natural food in this life to keep us going. With me being a sugar diabetic, mine drops too low. I can't take it. I'll go into the shakes. I'll start trying to find everything I can to eat to try to replace that sugar. But here you come on down. I want to get on down a little farther here. And you'll find that Christ, a little farther down, he says, now he's talking to some Jews here that's brought him into question. And you're going to find that he tells them that, you know, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me. Of all that the Father had given me, that I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up again at the last day. Now, those verses of Scripture are very familiar. You probably hear them a lot. But here, as you come on down to the end of this, and the thought is getting on my mind, and let me drop down to verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Well, here in that statement alone triggers my thinking that they have no spiritual understanding for one reason, because they said, hey, this is Joseph and Mary. We know his mom and dad. And how is it that this individual can say that I am the bread that came down from heaven? In other words, they couldn't understand that, brethren. In other words, they was thinking from a carnal mind's standpoint. They was looking at it from the Jew standpoint that salvation was of the Jews. And with salvation being of the Jews over here, that, you know, they had it and everything outside of that didn't have it. And so therefore, that carnal way of thinking here, they just couldn't grasp that. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. In other words, here it is, a group. Now, we're talking Jews here, supposed to be religious over here. He said, murmur not among yourselves. And here's a very popular verse 44. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. In other words, Christ here again, he's beginning to go back. And he's telling these Jews here, even though that salvation was of the Jews, and they'd been under that, they were descendants of Abraham, circumcision had been given to them, they had been brought up in that all of their life over here. They had a hard problem understanding that. So since they had a hard problem understanding that, you're going to find here Christ, he's going to try to help them understand it. In other words, Christ was pointing to a time when there was going to be a kingdom, that he was going to set up and establish here in this low ground of sin and sorrow, brethren. In other words, it wasn't going to be based on teaching everybody to know your brother or your sister to know the Lord. It wasn't going to be on that part, because you'll come down here in verse 45. He said, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God." He said, "Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me." In other words, Christ is beginning to go back. He said, he's trying to get across to these Jews. He said, "I'm going to try to get this across to you now, as it was written in the prophets over here. They're going to, as men have been taught of the Father and have learned of the Father, they are going to be the ones that's going to come to that of Christ." And then when you begin to think about it over here, he said, you know, back in verse 44, "No man can come except my Father which draw him." In other words, it was no longer going to be born into, we'll say, the Jewish family, or born into the religion. It's fixing to be, this is fixing to reach out, and it's fixing to get an innumerable host that no man will be able to number. And I don't even think the angels will be able to number it, Brendan, because over here, because you say, well, how can that be over here? You go back over here into Genesis, and my mind serves correct. You go back over here into Genesis, and Genesis in chapter 12, when he told Abraham to get thee out of thy land and away from thy kindred into a land that I'll show thee. Over here, and you'll come on down further in that chapter, you're going to find, he said, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." All right? If all the families of the earth is going to be blessed in that of Abraham, over here, that means all those families outside of that is not going to be blessed. Let's just use some reasoning here this morning. I'm going to trust the Lord to direct me and just give me a little bit of reasoning here. All right? But here, and then it comes on down further over here. In another place, I think over about Genesis maybe 17, maybe over about 20, 21, it says over here. He says that, he told Abraham, he said, "In blessing thee, I'll bless thee, and in multiplying, I'll multiply thee, that thy seed shall be as the sand of the seashore and as the stars of heaven." All right? Here it is. This is written in the Old Testament over here, and the prophet is prophesying of this to come about. Well, if this is going to come about over here, brethren, it had to be pointing to a time. I know Abraham, it was pointing to something here. God used that of Abraham, Isaac, and that of Jacob. Oh, well, you go back and follow all of that lineage over here. But when you come over here, it's going to be pointing to a time of Jesus Christ when he comes over here. Because even Moses in his writing said that, you know, that God will raise you up a prophet among you. Oh, yeah. Even Moses was writing on that. So if Moses writing that, going to raise up a prophet among you over here, was that going to be Abraham? Was that going to be Isaac? Was that going to be Jacob? Was that going to be that of Solomon or David? No. It was pointing to that great grand time of Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God, brethren. When he was going to come forth, and when he come forth over here, brethren, you're going to find over here, and then in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In other words, brethren, they're going to be blessed in that of Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God. That's how they're going to be blessed over here, brethren. Over here. And you say, well, how can it be? Because, brethren, that church is no longer. You remember over here the woman, when he come to the well, he told that woman over here, he said, "You don't know what you worship, but we know what we worship, for salvation is that of the Jews." He said, "It's going to come a time when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem over here." In other words, it's going to come a time when you will not be worshiping in this mountain or that in Jerusalem over here. Brother, it's going to come a time, brother, when you're going to be worshiping like you're worshiping this morning over here, brother. Our precious Lord and Savior, brother. You know, when it says God knew the end from the beginning, I'll say amen, amen, brother. He knew everything from the beginning to the end and all things therein. Nothing catches him by that of surprise over here. So when I begin to look at that, my mind goes back over here to that of Christ over here in that of Matthew, I think, if my mind serves me correctly. Over here about Matthew 16. And here it is, he comes to Peter. He said, "Now, who do ye say that I am over here?" He begins to ask that question over there. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Brethren, I'm going to tell you what, those Jews back over here in John 6 over here, they didn't know that he was the Christ over here. They hadn't been told of the Lord. They hadn't learned of the Lord over here, brother. Because he said, all of those that's been taught and have learned of the Lord, he said, what? They're going to come to me over here, brother. I don't know about y'all, I sort of like that, brother. That's just good news to me over here. Nicodemus had a hard time understanding that, brother. Here he was. He was a teacher, instructor of Israel, brother. And with him being a teacher and instructor, he didn't have the understanding of this. In other words, his understanding had been darkened of this over here. Here was this teacher, this instructor of Israel over there. He'd heard about Jesus Christ. He'd heard about the Son of God. He'd heard about those things. And when him hearing about those things over here, he said, hey, you know, I need to inquire this. What does he do? You know, does he go by day over here to be seen of everybody? No, he goes by night, the scripture says. When he goes over here by night, he goes to Christ and he inquires of that of Christ over here, you know, about that of the, we'll say, the being born again. And what did Christ tell him on that occasion there? He said, except thou be born again, thou canst not even see the kingdom of God. In other words, brethren, what he's talking about here, until you have been born spiritually here, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see that of Christ. Once you've been born spiritually, brethren, you're born into the family of God. Everybody outside of that has not been born spiritually is outside of that, brethren. They will not be able to see nor understand the things of God. It's an impossibility, brethren. You say, wait a minute, brother Frank. How can you say it's an impossibility? Brother, have you ever tried to talk to somebody that is not a believer? You cannot make them see it. You cannot make them see it, brother. Have you ever tried to convince somebody about that of Jesus Christ? I got a little thing I put in my Bible over here. It was so precious to me that I said, I got to share this with that of God's people. And I just wrote this down. He says, he that is changed against his will. If I come to you and I'm trying to change you against your will over here, all right, and let's say you will start agreeing with me. So, okay, I see that. Oh, yeah, okay, I believe that. Because I worked with a guy one time that told me that he had a step program that you had to go through to be saved. Now, brethren, I don't find a step program in God's Word. I just don't find that. But he that is changed against his will. If I change you against your will, brethren, oh, here, notice here what the next part is of the same opinion still. In other words, I ain't changed your mind. I haven't done anything, oh, here, brethren, to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong. So if I change you, you still have the same opinion still. So, how's the change going to come about? You go back over here, what Christ says over here. He that has been taught of my Father has learned of my Father. How are you going to get it? It's going to come from the Father, brethren. How did the Apostle Peter get it? Did the Apostle Peter get it on his own? Because he was born into that. Now, Peter was a Jew. But Peter didn't get it, brethren. He didn't get it by being a Jew, brother. He got it over here what Christ, the answer that Christ gave Peter over here. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the true and the living God. What did Christ tell him, brethren? I don't know about y'all, but to me, I love it. He says, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah. In other words, you're the son of Jonah over here. And you're blessed over here, son of Jonah. But he said, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. Amen, 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 brother over here. If you are ever to see the precious truths of God, if you're to ever see the precious church, if you are blessed to be able to see this precious word over here, brother, it's going to take a work of grace in the depth of your heart and depth of your soul, brethren. And once God has performed that work of grace, once you've been called out of that destined sin over here, brother, and I use the word call there. You go back over here, he said, no man can come unto the Father except my Father, which art in him. What draw him? I know y'all have heard this down over the years many, many times, but you know, sometimes the old truths are still good over here. I think they just, the more you use them, the more you polish them, the brighter and brighter they shine over here, brother. Because you can't do away with the Word of God, brother. You can't do away with what God has laid down over here, brother. Because that's going to stand forever over here. But you're going to find that no man over here can come except my Father which art in heaven draw him. In other words, you're taking an individual that's dead and trespassing his sin over here. By the fall of Adam over here. He's been alienated from that of God and that of Christ over here. With him being alienated from all of that over here, brother. There is no way he can get in there, brother, whatsoever, except what? We are talking about that the God of all creation, the God of God over here, brother, that sits upon the throne in heaven, that he will call that individual, brother, call him out of a dead state of sin to a lively state in that of Christ over here. Don't worry, we are talking about something spiritual here, brother. You're passing from a dead state in sin to a lively state in Christ. Some says, Brother Frank, I don't see how can that be over here. How can that be over here? Well, Paul had the understanding of it when he writes Christ to the church over here in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened. The word quickened them made alive. In other words, you was one time dead and trespassing in sin. Now by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, over here, you've been made alive. You've been quickened over here. You've been made alive. What? Spiritually over here, brethren. That's how you've been made alive. And once you've been made alive, you are blessed. You are a blessed individual to be able to see the precious truths, hear the precious truths, and God has blessed you with an understanding of the precious truths, brethren. And I'll tell you what, without that, you're not going to be able to have an understanding of that of God. You'll have some type of understanding, but it's not going to be a right understanding, brother. I had an individual one time tell me, he said, you need to get down on your knees over here. And in other words, he was trying to, I think, convert me or trying to save me. I don't exactly know what his intentions were, but he told me, he said, you need to get down on your knees over here, and you need to beg God for forgiveness, and you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior over here. Well, brother, that's in their mind, the carnal thinking over here, that's well and fine for that of man. But brother, even though it's well and fine for that of the man in the carnal state, brother, it's not well and fine when it comes down to that of God and to the children of God. Because that individual over here, about all you ever will be able to get will be the letter of it. You won't be able to get the spirit of it, brother, but you'll have the letter of it over here. But brother, there's, like I've said time and time again, these scriptures go beyond just the letter there, brother. There's a spiritual meaning. There's a spiritual lesson there that is set forth in that of God's word over here, brother, that we need to adhere to in this low ground of sin and sorrow there. Now he comes on down here. He says, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. And he said, he has seen the Father over here. What is he talking about there? He's talking about himself over here. No man has seen the Father at any time, but he that's of the Father. What is that? Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God, brother. I'll tell you what, when you go back into those Old Testament scriptures, over here, and like in Isaiah, and I'm using familiar stuff here this morning, brother, but I tell you what, when Isaiah said over here, that a virgin shall conceive, she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us, brethren, Christ was God with us here on earth, brother, on earth, for the 33 and a half years that he was here, it was God with us here on earth over here, brethren. I'll tell you what, you know, it had to be a delightful time when Christ was here on this earth and living like he lived over here, brethren. In other words, the Spirit was upon him not by measure. In other words, God just blessed him with the Spirit over here, brother. Now, like me, a lot of times, God's going to bless me. If he blesses me to preach, it'll be by measure. You know, it won't be. Sometimes it's a greater outpouring than at other times. And sometimes, you know, it's not as greater outpouring as others. But, brethren, I tell you what over here. It's with Christ, the Spirit was unto him without measure, brother. Christ over here, he could come. In other words, he had direct access to that of the Father. You say, well, what do you mean direct access to that of the Father? Brother, I tell you what, it was so overwhelming when Christ come to that of John. And see, here it is. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon the revealed fact that Christ is the rock of ages, all right, he built that, all right. Everybody that's come into it's got to be born of the Spirit. If you've been born of the Spirit, you're into that kingdom. And if you're into that kingdom, that begins to build to the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over here. All right? Once you've been brought into that over here, brother, he told him before, all that the Father gives me, I shall lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. In other words, brother, you're not going to lose anything. He's not going to lose anything there, but he said, I'm going to raise it up again at the last day. So everything, brother, is coming in here. But those Jews, they brought him into question. They couldn't understand it, and you got a people today in this world that cannot understand it over here. And I don't think they'll ever be able to understand it. The only way you'll be able to understand it is God bless you to be able to see it and to rejoice in that fact over here, brother. And I'll tell you what, when God has performed that work of grace, that should be that something in your heart and in the depth of your soul over here. You know the song we sung this morning there, For a Pure Heart? Brethren, I tell you what, there should be something inside of you here that would like to have a pure heart and like to have a more fervent life unto that of God, a more sincere life of that of God. Brethren, are we got to the point and the place here as God's people that go to make up the church that he's called out? Are we just going through a formality of it? Brother, it's no formality. It's real, brother, when it comes down to that of God's people in the church over here. Brother, are we trying to live the best life that we possibly can? I don't think so, brother. I thought about this over here. I believe it was one of the Bible writers put it like this. Hey, you know, if you be dead to sin, how can you live any longer therein? In other words, you that go to make up the church and been called out over here, brethren, All right? If you are dead to sin, which you got to be dead to sin if you've been born of the Spirit of God over here, brethren. You got to be dead to sin. He says, how can you live any longer therein? Why would we want to try to continue in sin or continue in those things that's ungodly and wicked over here, brother? We shouldn't want to continue that. We should want to come out. That should be that something within the depth of our heart and within the depth of our soul. We should want to be more like Christ as we possibly can, or become more like Christ as we possibly can here in this low ground of sin and sorrow. I thought a lot of times over here when Peter's writing, when Peter was just about to write, he said, be ye holy for I am holy. My question is this over here. We was told to be holy because God is holy. My question is this. Can we be holy? I say we can be. I say we can be. And I tell you what, through the grace and the mercy of God, in other words, you become more Christ-minded. To such a point extent over here, you begin to try to keep this old man, the flesh, down, and we can do it. We can do it, brother. Some say, I can't help myself. I'm a sinner. We're a sinner. We're going to die because of sin. But, brethren, God has put something inside of us over here that we can overcome the carnality of this flesh and the carnality of this body. We can overcome it, brother, over here by looking to God. When God has blessed His man, when He's blessed His minister to get up here and preach the Word of God, brother. I mean, preach the Word of God. And bless him to preach it in the power of the Spirit over here. And you've been blessed to hear. And you've been blessed to understand over here, brother. Are you to just let that go in one ear and out the other? Or you to just go out them doors and continue to live your life just like you always continue to live it? No, I don't think so, brother. If you've been blessed to hear, you've been blessed to understand, brethren, God is our duty over here, brother. God requires at our hand over here, brother, that we try to live a godly life over here. What did Jesus Christ do when He was here upon the face of this earth? He lived a godly life, brethren. He lived a life without sin. He lived a life that was in honor and glory to His Heavenly Father. When He called us out of that dead state in sin to a lively state in Christ, He called us, brethren, to live a life of righteousness and honor and glory unto Him in this low ground of sin and sorrow. Not to continue like we've been continuing here, brethren. That's what Paul begins to write over here in Romans 7. He said over here, you're talking about it being baptized into the death of Christ. But baptism over here, brother. I'll tell you what, he says there, if you've been baptized into the death of Christ over here, and you've been raised to what? To walk in what? Newness of life. You're no longer to continue in the way that you've been continuing, brother, but you're to walk in newness of life. What is the newness of life here, brother? That is the path of righteousness, yea, for Christ's namesake, brother. That is the life that we're to live. To His honor, to His glory here, to His and not only that, but brother, it's going to be to our comfort here in this life. To live that of a godly life. You can't continue to just get out here and just do any old way you want to, brother. You're going to have to, God requires us to live a godly life. You know when Paul writing over here to those Philippian brothers, he said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, brother. That child of God, our thinking needs to become like Christ. And when you're thinking becoming like that of Christ, and I'm not talking about just think about it, brother. I tell you, if you think about it, you need to think about it, meditate upon it daily, but it needs to be into your heart and in the depth of your soul, and you need to live it. You need to live it. If you don't live it, brethren, if you don't live it, when you're living it, what is shining forth here, brethren? When you are living it, brethren, the light of Christ is shining forth in your life. You're becoming more like Jesus. Don't you want to become more like Jesus? I do. All right, if you're becoming more like Jesus in that of your life, oh here, brethren, then you're going to be thinking like that of Christ. That mind is going to be in you, and then what's going to happen there? Then you will become to be a light unto the world. The church here, this little body here this morning that's met here, brethren, to worship God, you are like a city set afar off on a hill at night. What? That cannot be hid, brethren. Because in each of your life, there's that part of you of Christ that is shining forth in your life over here, brethren. And when you've been blessed from a mental standpoint over here, the spiritual part of your mind that you've been blessed with, to realize that something is sin and something is wrong, brethren, you need to try to get that out of your life. Now some said, I can't have it. The devil made me do it. No, the devil never made you do it. And you can have it. You can have it. But you know, we as God's people, we done got to the place, brother. We've got to the place. And I see this everywhere. There, I know the Bible says that's going to be a falling away. And there is a falling away. Amen, amen, brother. I agree with that. But brother, I'll tell you what. Why are we in the shape we're in? You think that it pleased God for His churches just to dry up and close the doors? No. God's not pleased with that. You say, well, what happened here, brethren, of these churches closing up? Brethren, I tell you what, I think somewhere back down the road, and it ain't just happened, but I think back down the road, some of our forefathers over here was not using the spiritual visual sight that they had over here, brethren, and they began to let some things go and begin to let some things slip and begin to let some things slide to such a point and to such an extent over here, brethren, things begin to dwindle down, 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 down. How can it be? I'm serving a church got 4 members. At one time had 20. You think God is pleased with that? No. What happened there? I think some of the leadership of the church, I'm going to share some things with you this morning, brother, and some things I've been on. Some of the leadership of the church back then had blinders on. They made some bad decisions. They made bad decisions, and every decision you make has a consequence that's going to come with it. If you are a child of God, been born in the Spirit of God, there's going to be a consequence that's going to come with it, whether good or bad. And you will answer for it, whatever the consequence is. And it's got to the place. And some says, well, you know, it's just no interest. Why is there no interest in the community or in the area where these churches are at? I think, brothers, the lights begin to go out somewhere. Over here in Matthew, he said, there's no man that will light up a candle and put it under a bushel. What are we talking about here? Now, y'all know what a candle is. I like to sometimes illustrate. A candle, you light that candle as a light. Well, let's say this here is a bushel. Y'all know what a bushel basket is. All of you farmers, I know what a bushel basket is myself. And you take that and you put it over it. What have you just done? You covered that light up. You hid the light. When you were born of the Spirit of God and called out of that dead state and sin into a lively state in Christ, when God drew you out of that state, my brother, He gives you the light of Jesus in your life to shine forth. All right, are you going to take that light that God has given you? Or are you going to take that light that God has given you? Or are you going to hide it with the carnality of this flesh? That's basically what you're going to be doing. That's what when Jesus said over here, when Paul said, be raised to walk in newness of life, in other words, he's telling that individual, if you went into the liquid grave of baptism, you've been raised to walk in newness of life, you're to walk a life that's going to be an honor and glory to God. In other words, you are bought with a price. You are no longer your own. You belong to God. Thank God for that. I think on a daily basis, I said, thank you, Lord, that you blessed me to be a part of the church. Thank you, Lord, you blessed me to see the precious church. Thank you, Lord, that you put a hope within me that one day beyond this fellow tear, I'll be with you in heaven. I said, thank you, Lord. And let me say this, brethren. There, you are a blessed people. I mean, you are blessed beyond measure. You're blessed to such point, I don't think you can understand or comprehend to the point that you have been blessed. What do you mean? You have been blessed to be able to see the precious truth of God. You've been blessed to see the church. You've been blessed over here, brethren, to be a part of the church. You've been blessed over here to rejoice over here in heavenly things, in heavenly places, brethren. People that's dead and trespassing and in sin that God has not called out, that's out here in the world, brethren, they can't see this, nor can they understand this, brethren. They can't see it, nor can they understand it. And since they can't see it, nor understand it, what do? They go about their lives on a daily basis, brethren, over here, suffering in anguish. Life is suffering at best. I'm telling you. But here it is, you are a people. You are a people that God has blessed, that's been called out of a dead state that's into a lively state in Christ, been blessed to be a part of the church, and you are here this morning. Why are you here? You wouldn't be here unless God has done something in your heart, unless there was something inside of you that said, hey, I need to be at church this morning. All right? Since that's in your heart and you're here, that's good. That's good. You've been a good, faithful member. That's what God required. That's duty. That's a duty. When God calls you out, brother, to a work. Some say, wait a minute now, Brother Frank, how can you say that's a work? My mind serves me correctly. Y'all bear with me a little bit. See, I got notes everywhere, brethren. I about wore my pages out. I told some here recently, I'm going to get me a Bible cover, you know. But I also want me one with a little pad on it. I was like, Sister Lane got there. Because sometimes I get thoughts. If I don't write them down, they don't stick with me. I can't go back and get them, so I like to write them down. But let's come over here to James in chapter 1. Now, this is a lot here. And I ain't going to be able to get into all of this, brother, but I want to drop down here and I want to get one verse. Once you've been born of the Spirit of God, and God called you out of that day of sin to a lifestyle in Christ, you're to live a righteous life. If you realize something is wrong, you can say no to this flesh and put an end to it. You can put an end to it. I know flesh is weak now, but I don't. God's word doesn't give any. It's no in between. It's not riding the fence there, brother. It's not going to ride the fence. You can. If there's sin in your life and you realize that sin, you can stop it. You can stop it. Mind over matter. You can stop it. All right, but let me come on down here. All right, once you've been blessed with the knowledge. All right, how did the church get the knowledge, brother? The church is going to get the knowledge from you reading, studying this book. And don't wait on Brother Philip to do it all for you. You cannot get on Sunday morning what he's been all week trying to get. You need to be every day, every one of you, every day, you need to take a certain amount of time to read your Bible. Some say, well, Brother Frank, I read it, but I don't understand it. You know what I tell them? I say, keep on reading. It'll eventually start to come together. Some of it will. Because, brother, if you're looking to God, if you're in prayer, praying to God over here to bless you in your reading, your study of God's Word, with some knowledge and understanding, brother, I believe at those that have been taught of God and have learned of God, God will teach you. He'll bring it to you. And it's not going to come easy now, brother. I'm going to tell you what little I've got has come hard. I mean, very hard. All right? Born of the Spirit of God, you're part of the Kingdom Church. All right? Christ set it up and established it here in the world. I probably ain't got this in order like it ought to be. But I'm sort of trying to follow the Spirit this morning, looking at that. But I thank God for what He's done to give me already. I don't know about y'all. I'm happy I'm Him. I'm happy I'm Him. But let me come on down here. All right. If you're going to walk in newness of life, and you've been blessed over here to hear the Word of God, you got to have a ear to hear it. And God bless you with something to understand it over here. All right. James over here. To my understanding here, was the brother of Jesus Christ. Half-brother of Jesus Christ. One of the, we'll say, first elders of the church at Jerusalem. One of them anyway. Let me come on down here a little further. Then he gets here in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word. All right? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. All right? What did James just tell him there? You are to be a doer of that word and not a hearer of it. Now, all of you hearing my audible voice this morning, and as you hear my audible voice, and God blessing it with that spirit to go out, it should be finding a logical place in your heart, and it should, and there should be something inside of you relating to it. You say, wait a minute, Brother Frank, how can you say that? There's got to be something inside of you relating to it. What do you mean relating? I think what Paul tells Timothy, he said, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And the preaching, let's see, I'm trying to get that. I can't quite get that right now. But anyway, he said the preaching of it is going to bring what? The life and immortality, the light that's there. That ain't exactly right, but that's close. It's going to bring the life and immortality to life. So if I'm being blessed to preach to you this morning in the power of the Spirit, and it's going out, you've been blessed with an orb here to hear it, there should be something inside of you that is relating to it. Because what is it doing? It's bringing the life and the immortality to life that's already there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's already there. Okay? All right? Now, would you hear that and relating to that? You should take your life and do something with it. But now watch this here. James puts it in a good way. He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you are a hearer of the word, if you are a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, James just said you are deceiving yourself. Do you think you can deceive yourself? I think you can. Matter of fact, I know you can. Because I deceived me. That's why over here you can get over here in Proverbs where Solomon was teaching his son, lean not to your own understanding. Amen, amen. You ought to lean to the understanding of the Lord in this book, brethren. Let's get on a little further here. I got to hurry up. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, watch this. You're going to be a hearer of it and you're going to be a doer. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Okay. I got up this morning, showered, shaved and everything, and looked at myself in the mirror. I said, oh, you don't look so good. Age is taking its toll, brethren, on all of us. I look at these young people, though. I look at these young people, you know. And I look at them now, and my mind goes back to when I was young. I said, Lord, they don't know what's ahead of them on down the road. They don't know about the aches and the pains and the troubles and the trials and the worries and the aggravation. They start enjoying life to some extent. But let me get on here. All right, he says, if you come out to the house of God and you hear that man of God preach in the power of the Spirit, he's holding up the perfect law of liberty. And you're looking at yourself. You're looking at yourself in this perfect law of liberty, which is a mirror. And you begin to see some things that's out of place in your life. Maybe your conduct is not like it ought to be. Your action is not like it ought to be. And I could go into a lot of other stuff that I'm not going to go into, but y'all sort of know what I'm talking about. That old sinful nature coming out. All right? And the preacher gets up and he preaches against it. And you realize what he's preaching is the truth, and you realize that you ain't measuring up. And since you ain't measuring up, oh, here you say, well, you know, something's going to tell you, well, you need to do something about it. You need to change that in your life that's not right. I'll go to my grave, brethren. Preaching the gospel changes life, or it should change lives. All right? And you hear that preaching, and you realize your shortcomings. And since you realize your shortcomings over here, and you'll get up and go out that door, and you don't do one thing about it. Not one thing. In other words, it went in this year, it went out this one. You are a hearer of the word, but not a doer of the word. Since you are a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, brethren, you continued your same old way. How many of God's people is in this state? How many? I got to come on down a little further. I got to get a little further. For behold, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Brother, we're talking about children of God here. We're talking about church members. All right? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. One of these days, I want to get just on that one verse of Scripture. Use some word study on this one verse of Scripture, brethren. You're going to find out it's an eye-opener here, but I ain't going to get into all of that this morning. But he says, all right, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Did y'all catch that? Did y'all catch that? Let me back up. He being not a forgetful hearer, not a forgetful, he remembering what he heard. He's going to put it in operation in his life. Not a forgetful, but a doer of the work. That's what I want there. Doer of the work. Living a godly life, brethren, is a work. 7 days a week.
Yeah.
24 hours a day. You say, wait a minute, 24 hours a day. Even when you're sleeping. You say, why, Brother Frank, even when I'm sleeping? Brother, I've had some dreams sometimes that hadn't been good dreams. And I woke up saying, Lord, not so. Not so, Lord. In other words, it'd be a bad dream or whatever it might be, but I'd realize it wouldn't be, something about me would realize it would not be God-honoring. And by me realizing it wouldn't be God-honoring, I would wake up saying, not so, Lord, deliver me from that. 24 hours a day. And brethren, that's a great multitude. Let me go back. I got to go back to my text here this morning. He said, oh yeah. Let me start. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this the Jesus, the son of Joseph, whom father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Carnal thinking, brethren. They could not see this thing spiritually. They couldn't see it. They didn't even realize that he was the Son of God. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me except the Father which is in heaven sent me, draw him. In other words, brethren, you're going to have to be drawn out of this thing, sin, the light. And I will raise him up again at the last day. And it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of shall be all taught of God, and every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Is that another part of Scripture that's going to justify this? Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. And I'll close with that. I'm going to start verse 9 and I'll go down and I'll get out of the way. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. What did they do? They didn't continue in this covenant. You can continue in it, brethren. All right, watch this. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. All right? He that in that he saith, a new covenant hath he made the first old, now which decayeth and waxeth old, is ready to vanish away. The New Testament church, brethren, which we've been blessed to be a part of this morning, and which we've been blessed to sit in here this morning, brethren. And I said, you are blessed. You are really blessed. You said, why are you blessed, brethren? If not deceived in my full heart, and I like to... All services are different. But when I can go out to the house of God, and I can be in a service, and I can feel like God blesses the service, that man of God, this is something inside of him to let him know. It's going to let him know. If God is pleased to bless, in other words, he anointed this service this morning with his Holy Spirit. If that being the case, brethren, God is with you here in the person of the Holy Spirit. He blessed you, as Christ talked about that, he blessed you to feast upon what? The bread of heaven. The bread of heaven, brethren. And as he said, that I shall lose nothing, but I shall raise it again at the last day. One day beyond this veil of tears, brethren, all that Christ died for, that he called out of a dead state of sin to a lively state of Christ, will be with him in heaven. God bless you with my prayer.